I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all the way.
Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday.
chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. We've been talking about these verses as the theme of the Gospel of John, as to why John wrote his Gospel. The other three obviously had different themes that they were talking about. But in John chapter 20, we see why John wrote his Gospel. John 20, 30, and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. All right, let's say it one time together now. John 20, 30, and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. All right, Brother Renzi. It's good to see you again, brother. It's been way too long. It's been a while.
It's good to see everybody. It's good to see everybody this morning. Some songs we sing are not true. There came a time in my life when I started listening to songs and trying to see if they're truly biblically accurate. Now, I'm not saying, God bless, get rid of these wicked, I'm saying this morning we sang, all our burdens are gone, they're all gone. And does anybody have any burdens? They're not gone yet. Now, I understand that really the context of that one song has to do with the burden of our sin is gone. We no longer bear the burden of our sin. In other words, I think it was Pilgrim's Progress, remember? He was carrying that burden of sin when he came to the cross. That was gone. But according to the scriptures, everybody's got to bear their own burdens. Galatians 6, right? And then we also got to bear one another's burdens. I mean, I really wish the truth was that when we got saved, all the burdens were gone. We all have burdens, amen? And that's why we need the Lord day by day to help us to carry our burdens and to get us through, amen? So I'm learning to sing songs and listen to songs and see, is it biblically correct? Because, some songs we sing, I know it's just... That's not, I wish it was, amen. By the way, we're singing fantasy sometimes too, right? We just wish they were. But the fact of the matter is we are all burdened, amen. In fact, this morning I just made it here on time. That was it, just on time. Usually I try to get a few minutes early. This morning I got out, I got the car going, I'm driving, I'm ready to turn on to I-95. Once I'm on the highway, that's it. A guy pulls up next to me, rolls the window down. I notice him. We say roll it down, but I'm hitting the button. It's going down. And he's like, you have a flat tire. I was right around the corner from my house. I thank the Lord we have two vehicles. Seriously. If not, And so I'm, That's all right. Thank you, Lord. Because if I would have got on, it was down real bad already, obviously. If I would have turned on the 95, I'm stuck on the highway. And so thank the Lord I was able to shoot around, get into the other car, and stuff like that. But that's burdens. Thank God that was a convenient burden. Not all of them are convenient like that. Sometimes it's like, oh boy, what do I do now? And the crazy thing is I usually have a tire kit in my car. I got a thing you plug into the lighter. It fills the car up. I got the plugs and everything else. I could pull something. And it's in my other car. And I thought, should I bring it to this other car that I'm getting ready to take? And I said, because I'm not going to change anything anyway. If anything, I'm going to have to wait for somebody to come and change it. I wish I would have just, Anyway, I had an inclination to take the other car. But nonetheless... Burdens, amen. We all have them. And by the way, we're all going to have them until we're out of this life. Amen. But you and I could read 2 Corinthians 5 and where Paul the Apostle talked about being burdened in this body. We are burdened. In fact, some people are so burdened that they're looking forward to getting rid of the body, not necessarily looking forward to dying, but looking forward to changing. Amen. Getting rid of this tabernacle, Paul said, you know what I mean? Because there's a building that God has and so on. And so we are burdened, and we're going to be burdened until the day that we're out of here. Now we will be able in heaven to sing, all my burdens are gone. Amen. All my burdens are gone. Then we will be able to sing. There ain't no doubt about it. Amen. But now we often feel maybe like the psalmist in Psalm 147, I believe it, or 137, 147, somewhere around there. He said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? You know, they were taken the captive to Babylon, and they were, you know, in captivity, and they were saying, hey, sing one of the songs of Zion. Sing one of those joyful songs in your situation. By the way, we don't always sing joyful songs when everything's not going right. I've heard preachers say to people in pews, you know, oh, bless God, you know, why don't you put a smile on that face and sing, bless God, you know, and you have no idea what that person's going through that moment. That person may not be up to singing the way you're up to singing, or the way you're up to leading the singing. You know, that's the truth, by the way. I'm only speaking the truth. In the book of James, chapter number 5. Is any among you sick? Let him do what? Let him pray. Is any among you merry? Let him what? Let him sing psalms. There's an understanding that some people are going through something and they just don't have that smile and that song. You understand what I'm saying? I put it this way, reading that scripture in James. You know, life sometimes will hand you a hymn book, or life sometimes will hand you a prayer list. Every once in a while you get them both at the same time, but usually that's how it is. Amen. That's why we also need to be sensitive to one another. Even Paul was told Timothy about, you know, weep with them that weep, rejoice with them that rejoice. What are you saying? We're all going through something, and sometimes somebody's going through something different than you're going through. That's just the way it is. Amen. Not everybody's going to be up at the same time. Amen. And thank God not everybody's going to be down at the same time. But we also have to be sensitive to each other that, hey, this is a time period that this person is going through something. So I can't expect, you know, amens and hallelujahs coming from them at this moment. We have to be sensitive to one another. Amen. And so on. And where that came from, I don't know. Turn, if you would, to the book of Jude, please. Jude chapter number 3. Sometimes songs send me off in my mind, you know. You know what I'd like to have? I want to have real Christianity. You know what I mean? Can I get a witness on that one? Somebody? I want to have real Christianity. I don't want to have a fake Christianity, one that, matter of fact, cookie cutter Christianity. You have to do this. You have to be this. You have to, you know. I want to have real Christianity, which you can't have, by the way, apart from Scripture. Amen. You know, some people think they're real Christians because they submit to fundamentalism, whatever the rules and regulations are at the time. I'm not looking to fit in with a group. I'm looking to make sure that my life aligns as much as possible with the Scriptures. Amen. That's the goal, and that should be the goal in life. Look at Jude chapter. No, there is no other chapter than one. Jude verse number three. Beloved, he said, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I think he's saying that I wanted to write unto you about the common salvation, but the situation caused me to write about something else. And by the way, that's good, isn't it? When God's Spirit can lead somebody to say what needs to be said, not what they want to say. Amen. But the fact of the matter is, I want to speak to you just for a little bit this morning in Sunday school about what I'm going to call the common salvation. You see, Jude wanted to speak to them about the common salvation. And the word common means this. It's basically we all have the same. It's common, okay? There's a few things, by the way. There's many things, I should say. Not a few. There's many things. If you're saved this morning, there are things that we all have in common, right? Number one, we all have the same salvation. If you're saved, you have the same salvation I have. And I have the same salvation you have. Isn't it wonderful that nobody has a different salvation than somebody else? We all have the same one. And by the way, what kind of salvation do we have if we have it? And here's some simple thoughts for you. It's the one that's by faith. If you haven't been saved by faith, you haven't been saved. We're not saved by emotional experiences. We're not saved by, you know, seeing a vision of something. By the way, there's been many, many different denominations whose testimonies are that. You say, are you saved? Oh, yeah, I'm saved. Well, how did you get saved, brother? By the way, the term saved is very common. So there's a lot of people that tell you, yeah, I'm saved. You say, are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. In fact, if you ask them a little bit further, well, how are you saved? And they might go on to maybe express to you how they got saved one day because they were going to get hit by a car and it just kind of missed them. And so they're saved, you know. And that's not what we mean, is it? We mean saved by salvation in Christ. Amen. But there are some people that go a little deeper than that, religiously speaking. Oh, I'm saved. You know, well, how did you get saved? That's what I like to talk to people. If they say, yeah, I'm saved, I like to hear their testimony. How'd you get saved? And usually their explanation of how they got saved will help you to realize whether they're really saved or not. Amen. And many times I've heard people say, well, I went to this church service and they called us down to the front and the preacher prayed over us. And man, I felt something, you know, and I went back and that's what saved me. That's not what saves us. Amen. We're not saved by experiences. We're saved by faith. Faith is trusting the Lord. Amen. You and I are saved because we put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And by the way, our faith and trust in Jesus Christ has to be based on scriptural truth. Amen. Trust, total reliance upon scriptural truth. Amen. That's what saves us. Not, I believe what my church said, and that's what saved me. Well, I have no idea what your church says about salvation. Because there are some churches that tell you if you don't live for Jesus, you can't be saved. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not interested in your salvation based on what some church said or what some minister said or what some, you know, pope said. I want to know, is your salvation based on what God said? Because faith, saving faith, especially Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In the context of Romans 10:17, it's salvation. Verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It goes on to say, how can they call if they haven't heard? How can they hear if a preacher didn't preach? Amen. The implication is saving faith comes by hearing the truth, mainly the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ that comes right from this book. Amen. And so our faith and our trust is in the word of God. Amen. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. Amen. I trust the ever living one whose wounds for me shall plead. And it's all based on the written word of God. Amen. And so we all have the same salvation. If we're saved, we all have the same salvation. It's a salvation that comes by faith, and it's a salvation that comes for free. If you had to pay for your salvation, it ain't salvation from the Lord. Amen. The salvation we have is free. Amen. Freely we are justified, the Bible says, according to the scriptures. And by the way, we know free is a gift. It's a gift of God. Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So we all have a salvation that's by faith. We all have a salvation that's for free if you're truly saved. And by the way, here's the blessed thought also. We all have a salvation that's forever. Amen. Amen. If you have Bible salvation, if you have a salvation that came by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, according to the word of God, you have a salvation that was freely given you by the Lord, and you have a salvation that'll never be taken away from you. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Thank God we can never lose our salvation. Listen, we may lose our testimony. I have. I've lost my testimony. Hey, I got saved when I was a kid. I got saved when I was 10 years old. But when I was a teenager, man, I really lost my testimony. In fact, I lost my testimony to the point I believe some people thought that guy never was saved. But they have no idea what was going on the inside of my life, because I knew I was saved and I knew I was wrong and I knew what was far from God. And God was dealing with me. He was dealing with me on the inside, convicting me and so on. And as I was stubbornly rebellious, he started to deal with me on the outside, you know. It's called chastening, Hebrews chapter number 12. And by the way, if God just takes away your salvation, why would he chasten us? What does he do? Spank you till he says, oh, this ain't going to work. I'll just take their salvation away from them. I'm so glad that once you're saved, you're always saved. The Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You and I remember reading a pamphlet. I think it was by, who was the Sword of the Lord editor, passed away of cancer, Hudson, right? Tony, not Tony Hudson, the other guy, his father. I forget his name. Anyway, Hudson, Curtis Hudson, yes. I read a book one time, you know, Eternal Security, Salvation, and he used that verse and said, we are double padlocked. We're in Jesus' hands. We're in the Father's hands. We are secure. And I remember reading Ephesians and thinking about, hold on a minute, the Holy Spirit of God is the seal of the believer. He's the security of the believer. We're triple padlocked. We can never lose our salvation. Listen, we all have, if we are saved according to the scriptures, we're all saved the same way. By faith, we're all saved for free. And thank God we're all saved forever. Amen. You know, common salvation deals with the fact we all have the same salvation. But it also deals with the fact that we all have the same Savior. Amen. We all have the same Savior. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. In the scriptures, we find in Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Only Jesus Christ. There's one God and one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus. That's 1 Timothy 2:5. And then John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. And so we only have one Savior, and his name is Jesus. By the way, he's the one that died for us. Amen. That's how we got salvation, right? He took our sin upon himself. But thank God he's the one that lives for us. He didn't just die for us. He rose again. He ascended. And now he lives for us. Amen. And here's another blessed thought. This Savior we have, he's coming for us. He's coming for us. Amen. And we know that to be the truth according to the scriptures. This salvation we have, this common salvation, we all have the same salvation. We all have the same Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. But then there's another thing about this common salvation. We all have the same Spirit. You see, the day that you and I accepted Christ as our Savior, the day that we became believers and born again, we've been given the Spirit of God. Amen. In fact, born again, Jesus said in John 3:7, you must be what? Born again. The essence of the thought of born again is born from above, or born of the Spirit, born of the Spirit with life from above. Amen. And that's the day we get saved, we get the Holy Spirit. And by the way, we all get the same Holy Spirit. In fact, our bodies, the Bible says, are the temples of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that when believers gather, the body, the church, is a place where the Spirit of God comes and meets with his people as well. You and I, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, amen? And so on. So you and I have the Holy Spirit of God. We have the same Spirit. In fact, I'll say this about salvation. He was the one that convicted us to salvation. You see, salvation has to do with God's Spirit working on our hearts to convict us. The Bible says, Jesus said, when he has come, referring to the Spirit of God, he'll convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. The Spirit of God is the one who works on our hearts through the Word of God and through other people and so on to deal with us about salvation. Amen? That's what he does. He's the one that convicted us to salvation. He's the one that came into us at salvation. And by the way, he's the one that comforts us through our salvation. He is the comforter. The comforter has come. The comforter has come. Amen. The Holy Ghost from heaven. Amen. What is comforter? It means somebody who comes alongside to aid you, to help you, to strengthen you. Amen. Thank God. Jesus said, I got to leave, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to send you another comforter who's going to be the same as me. That's equal, if you will. He will guide you. He will teach you and so on. Oh, thank God for the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. You and I that are saved, we have the Holy Spirit of God, and he's the one that helps us. The Bible says in Romans 8, he helpeth our infirmities. Amen. When we go through what we go through, he's the one that strengthens us. And I don't doubt that he uses his word to strengthen our hearts to make it through this life. Amen. Sometimes physical infirmities can overcome and dominate. But when the spirit is strengthened, it can help us to bear those infirmities. The Holy Spirit strengthens our inner spirit, our inner man. In fact, we read that in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 17, I believe it is. Paul prayed for the Ephesian believers to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. I often wondered. See, I read scriptures and I think, how would this happen? I think logically. You know, I know supernaturally the Spirit of God can give us a supernatural energy, and I don't doubt that he can do that. And sometimes he does do that. But I wondered if see, his word strengthens us. Our words weaken us. You know, words can discourage you. Words can suck the life out of you. Words can make you drag your feet. The words we hear from the world, the words the devil whispers in our ear, and the words we say to our own selves are discouraging. And sometimes we just don't have it because, but there are times when the Word of God by the Spirit of God will strengthen our hearts and give us what we need to keep on keeping on. Amen? Turn with me for a moment, if you would. We're right in the neighborhood. Look at 1 John chapter 2. I'm just going to get sidetracked for a moment. I want you to seize this. And by the way, when you read Psalm 119, you'll read several times in that chapter where the psalmist prayed for God to strengthen him or to quicken him by his word. Amen? Strengthen me according to your word. Amen? See, the word of God, a good word, heaviness. Proverbs, heaviness in the heart maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Amen? 1 John chapter 2, would you look with me please in verse number 14, I believe it is. Look at verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. Look what he says unto the young men. This is what I want you to see. I have written unto you, young men, because you are what? Strong. What's the next statement though? And the word of God abideth what? In you, and you have overcome the wicked one. I believe that he's saying you are strong. And by the way, I believe their strength is because the word of God abides in them. They get their strength in the inner man by the word of God. Amen. And the strength they get from the word of God gives them the power they need to overcome the wicked one. Amen. God's word is something I need to get a hold of, and God's word is something I need to keep a hold of. Amen. What light is this shining so brightly for me that gives me such courage the right way to be? What hope for my trusting soul ever shall be? God's wonderful book divine. Do you ever hear that one? I love the old Bible, precious old Bible, light on my pathway to shine. It makes me so happy, always so happy. God's wonderful book divine. And there's a wonderful, wonderful stanzas that have to do with that. But it talks about the strength and comfort and guidance we get from the Word of God. Amen. We all have, if we are saved, we all have the same salvation. We all have the same Savior. We all have the same Spirit. And He's the Spirit of God who helps us to get through this life. Without Him, man, we wouldn't be able to make it. Amen? He really, really helps us. You see, but not only is the common salvation have to do with all of us having the same salvation, the same Savior, the same Spirit, but thank God we have the same Scripture. And primarily, as you well know, the King James Bible. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. We got the Word. By the way, what book is this? This is the book that God gave us by revelation. Amen. This is the book that God protects and protected by inspiration and even now preservation. Amen. Thank God for the book that we have. We all have the same salvation, right? We all have the same Spirit, right? We all have the same Savior. We all have the same Scripture. And let me just say this too. We all have the same struggles. Now, granted, my particular struggle may not be exactly like your particular struggle is. But in essence, we all have the same struggles. We all are trying to battle the devil, the world, and our own flesh. Be it whatever it is that brings that struggle, right? We're all going through. In fact, I will call it 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. We're all struggling. Philippians 1:29 and 30. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now listen to the verse 30. Having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. Paul's saying, hey, we got the same conflict. 1 Peter 5:8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring and lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. What is he saying? He's saying, look, we're going through it. We're all going through something. Amen. We are all going through something. If you're not going through something now, thank God. But prepare. Some people that aren't going through anything spend the time doing nothing, and then when the trials come, they're not ready for them. Amen? We're all going through the same things. If we all have the same salvation, if we all have the same Savior, if we all have the same Spirit, and if we all have the same struggles, why is it that we don't all have the same success? Since we all have the same, shouldn't we all have the same success? And the problem is, no. We all get the same, but we don't all give the same, right? The success in the Christian life has to do with what you do with what you have. Not just the fact that you have it. Amen? Every one of us has, matter of fact, turn with me just for a moment, if you would, to Second Peter. Let me show you this for a moment. Second Peter chapter number one, just for a moment. I'm coming down, I'm almost done. Second Peter. How can everybody have the same equipment but don't have the same results? Because not everybody's using the equipment, right? I mean, think about that, right? If God gave everybody the same and said, you know, here you have everything you need to do whatever needs to be done. If one doesn't, the other does, the one gets something done, the other doesn't, then we can't blame that we didn't have what was needed. Amen? It's almost like the Lord said in Isaiah chapter 5, where he spoke about the nation of Israel and he spoke about how he put them in the right place and he took out the rocks out of the area and so on. And they were in a place where they could have been fruitful and should have been fruitful as a nation. And God said, what more could I have done than I have done? You know? Second Peter, right? Look at chapter number 1 for a moment. Look at verse number 3. 2 Peter 1, 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and what? Godliness. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us into virtue and glory. We have been given, when we've gotten saved, we've been given everything we need to live the life God wants us to live. The godly life that God wants us to live. Amen. The question is, why are some people more successful than others? Why are some Christians more successful than others? And here's just a couple thoughts as I close up on this topic this morning. Successful Christians are those who work harder. They work harder at their Christianity. Christianity is something that we have to work at. Christianity, listen, we don't work for Christianity, but we have to work to be good Christians. You understand what I'm saying? I get salvation for free, but I got to work out what I got. Philippians 2, 12 and 13, right? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is working in us that he wants to work through us. He's trying to work with us. Amen. And we have to work with him. We have to let him have his will. Let him have his way. Amen. We have to work at it. Add to your faith. This very chapter of 2 Peter talks about verse number 5. And beside this, besides saving faith, add to your faith. And it says virtue and knowledge and temperance and so on. Add to your faith. Growth is going to come by what we do with what we have. If I have the Holy Spirit, I have the scriptures, but I don't read it and study it, what's going to happen for me? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If I'm not growing, it's because I'm not into the milk of the word, right? In fact, many of us should be beyond the milk of the word, right? We should be enjoying some good meat, right? Why are some Christians more successful than others? They work at it. They work at it. They work better, I should say. Work harder. And then another one, too, just to throw this out at you, is successful Christians are those who war better. They fight better. Some Christians are better fighters, and I don't claim to be a good fighter at all, spiritually speaking, amen. I mean, listen, Paul admonished Timothy, put up a what? Good fight, amen. Fight the good fight, and so on. We got to put up a better fight sometimes, don't we? Can I get a witness on that one? I was telling my son this past week that if we're going to be good Christians, it's going to take a battle. We got to fight the devil. He's not looking to let us be good Christians, right? You go to try to be a good Christian, the devil's going to be like, hold on a minute, I'm going to see what I can throw at you to stop you. Amen? Anybody ever meet Pastor Kaiser, Joe Kaiser? You may have heard of him. He's out of Solid Rock. He preaches out once in a while. But anyway, he used to be an assistant pastor at the church where I was at. And we were in the bus ministry together, and he's a contractor by occupation. And so we're working on this old bus barn. Some woman let us use her old garage, and the doors were just falling apart. And so one Saturday we're down there, and he said, we're going to take these old doors off and try to fix them up and everything else. And so these doors were just put together like just a bunch of plywood just kind of screwed up together. You know what I mean? And so... I'm watching him, and he's got his cordless drill, and so he's trying to get this piece of plywood that's screwed up on this door, And I'm watching him, and he's a pretty good contractor, and he knows how to work that thing. I mean, he starts, you know, he's got these the drill gun, and he's got it on reverse because he's taking screws out of the wood that's been in this wood forever. And so he's just zip, zip, zip. And he's just, I mean, he's able to hit these things like crazy. And I'm sitting there, I'm holding the wood. I think, you know, I'm ready. Because once he's got all these out, I got to get carried. So he's zip, 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 zip. And then all of a sudden he goes, too resistant. Got to move on. And he zip, 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 zip. And what it was he started to knock these screws out. Many of them were just rusty. I mean, they've been in there forever. And he's just knocking these screws out. And he's just moving. And then he gets to one screw. And he used the term, too resistant, got to move on. And I'm paying attention to what he's doing. So he just moves on. And that made me think. James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. I was saying, you know, many Christians are just being zipped right out. Devils are zipping them out. Now, Kaiser's not the devil, but I'm going to use him as an illustration. But he gets to this one screw that's just so rusted and so stuck in there. He doesn't even stay with it no more. He just got to move on, too resistant. That's what we need to be sometimes to the devil. He may be knocking them out left and right, but when he comes to us, may we be so stubborn and so resistant in the right things that he says, you know what? I ain't getting very far with these. Let me move on. Amen? And he'll flee from you. May God help us. Amen? We all have what it takes. God help us to do something with what we have. Amen? And I mean that for myself especially. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for allowing us just to be able to share some scriptures this morning. I pray somehow, some way, our hearts might be encouraged to know we have everything it takes to live for you. Help us to give what it takes to live for you. I do pray now you'll bless our time of fellowship as, Lord, we have just some moments, Lord, before the service. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I think we're good, right? 25 after? Good. All right.